Welcome back to the Reverse Autoimmune Disease Summit Series, everybody. I'm Dr. Keisha, and this is the fourth iteration of the Reverse Autoimmune Disease Series. We're doing the autoimmune detox this time. Of course, we're working off of those four corner pieces of the puzzle that we have to address if we're going to reverse autoimmunity, which are healing your trauma, making sure that your toxic burden is releasing, making sure that your gut is healthy, and then looking at genetics and mitigating any of those that want to express themselves in disease patterns and making sure that they don't. So in this particular reverse autoimmune disease series, we're going to be talking about autoimmune toxicity from the spirit, the mind, the heart, and the energy body and the physical body. So when we talk about detox, we're not just talking about green smoothies. And my guest today is really right along this line, and I'm so excited to introduce her to you. Her name is Talia Harbaror, and she's a mindset expert. She's a certified ICF International Coaching Federation coach and a certified personal development facilitator. She's the founder of Alpha, which is ALFA by Talia, and is currently dedicating her life to working with women that are suffering with multiple sclerosis and healing their bodies and improving their lives. And then Alpha stands for authenticity, love, freedom, and abundance. Welcome to this series, Talia.
Thank you so much, Dr. Keisha. I'm so happy to be here. I'm excited.
I'm really happy you're here. I was interviewed by you for your summit, and I just remember going, oh, I have to have you. You have such wonderful energy, and you know, you're just very, very heart-centered and open, and you're along that same path of we have to heal the whole system. And so that's why I invited you to come to this particular series, because our viewers and listeners know exactly what you're talking about. You're not having to preach to the choir here. So I always, whenever I interview somebody, I want to start with how they got to be doing what they're doing today. And everybody has a very unique story, and I would love for you to share yours.
Yeah, of course, I'd love to. So I was born in Israel. Born and raised in Israel. And I don't know how much our listeners know, but being in the conflict over there as a child can get scary. And I always told myself that I have to be like a very strong person to deal with that. You know, like you wake up in the morning, you take the bus going somewhere, you don't know if somebody put a bomb on the bus, you're gonna jump on. So the fear, the constant fear of like, am I going to be attacked? How can I protect my family? But I'm just a child, I can't protect anybody. So there was like a lot of thoughts, a lot of fears, and a lot of like, I need to be somebody, I don't know if I even am, to survive in this life. Lots of thoughts about survival. And then I grew up, had my own life experiences, like my father left. I realized at a very young age that I'm actually attracted to women and I'm Jewish, like that's wrong. And hearing from my mother, like a lot of stories about, I think she was realizing that I might be gay. So she was saying she didn't know how to deal with it. She did her best, but she was like saying some stuff that really hurt me. Like, oh, those people are sick or stuff like that. So I grew up with a lot of shame, with a lot of guilt. I'm wrong. I'm not good enough. And I was always trying to, I was focusing on the outside because the inside was not enough for me in the way I saw it. And so, I grew up, I got to the US, I got married, to a man, and, it's like nothing was enough for a time. Marriage was great. I started a whole new business, learned a new language. Everything was great. Like most people that would look at my life would be, well, I want your life, whatever you have there. I want it right now. I want it yesterday. And for me, it was never enough. Nothing was good enough. And there was sadness that was part of everything that I did. And I couldn't understand why. So at some point I started my own journey in personal development and started diving in and asking questions and finding answers and learning myself. And during this journey, I was diagnosed with MS, multiple sclerosis. And well, before the diagnosis, I realized that things are not exactly working. I ended my marriage. I at some point closed my business because I realized the difference that this kind of work do for people. So I'm like, I want to learn it on a deeper level, because if I realized how my life changed, because it was like extreme change, I became super happy. I understand that I had all the answers. I stopped doing things that didn't make me happy, that I thought I was supposed to do as a human or a woman in the world. And life just was like, it was amazing. So I start studying it, right? Just to be able to deliver it. And my vision was, if I can understand that I have the choice at every moment to create the life that I want, to feel how I want to feel, to think the way that actually is supporting the life that I want to live, everybody can. So I want to bring this work to Israel, and I want everybody that I love to see it, to feel it, to experience it, to live it. I was so passionate about it. I think I still am. You can feel it. and I dove in. I left anything else and I dove in. And then at some point I got the diagnosis, and it was really hard. I'm like, oh my God, I finally thought that I'm in charge of my life. I finally thought that I'm worth something, that life work is worth something. And now you're taking everything away from me. Like, I'm going to end up on a wheelchair. I'm just in my 30s. What's happening? And of course, with all the work that I was doing, I learned how to manage it. I learned how to deal with it. And every day was better. It was a journey like everything else in life. And at some point I realized that when I don't let my fear, my negative thoughts, take me from the present moment, I'm actually managing it really well. And I started doing the certain practices that I'm actually at the point was teaching people how to do. And I was, you know, training them on how to create it in their lives. My mess was like changing. It was disappearing. I had nothing. And when I allowed my past, my pain, my fears, my stress to come to the present moment, things were different. So I started like, it was for me, it was new. I was like, oh my God, wait a minute. My mind actually affects my body. Is there a connection? I had no idea at that point there was a connection. It was new for me. And I was so excited about it. I started studying that and reading. And I was like, oh my God, like I didn't make it up. It's real. I mean, there's science behind it. And I really believe that there is a reason for everything that happens in our lives. So, we have purpose and we have a mission on this planet. And I guess that was my mission, but I needed the world to tell me, yes, you're in the right place, Talia, keep doing what you're doing. So what happened was, into the trainings that I was in, people with a mess started showing up. I've never even knew a mess was like existed. A mess was a disease until my diagnosis. And all of a sudden, after I had the realization that the work that I actually do changes our body, changes, reverses autoimmune diseases, those people start showing up in my space. And they were telling me, oh my God, I never felt so free in my body since my diagnosis. I never felt like I can choose everything. I never felt in charge of my body parts. I was like, oh my God, like there's a reason it's in my space. I get to focus on that. More and more people get to know, get to learn that they have the power to choose and they can heal. And since then, like that's my mission. That's what needs to happen on this earth. And every day, that's what I focus on. I'm passionate. I love it. And I think that human beings are, you know, we are so powerful. There's so many opportunities for us. And I want to spread the message. I want everybody to know that.
So Talia, thank you so much for sharing your story. I find nobody does the work that we do without having a personal connection to it. And in Ayurvedic medicine, which is one of the things that I discovered after I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis 26 years ago, they say that autoimmune disease is undigested anger. And so when you go back into that space, right, in your story, I remember kind of sitting back in my chair, looking at the computer screen when I read that and thinking, but I'm not angry. And then going, oh, probably my lack of awareness around anger that my body has had to take on because I have not acknowledged it, given it permission, decided that this was a human emotion that needed to be permissioned and then digested, which means moved through, is maybe why I'm here, right? And so when you look back and you think about, you know, I had sexual abuse in my past and I had some things, you know, that I should have been angry about, but wasn't. I just sort of put them in a little box and stuck them in the back of the closet. And I can see that, like, getting on a bus, not sure if you're going to get off the bus, you would do the same thing because you can't be governed by fear. So where's the fear going to go?
Yeah, and I actually, unlike you, very clear on the anger that I had.
I was angry.
I was angry at the world. I was angry at my mother. I was angry at the family member that touched me inappropriately. My father's friends that touched me inappropriately. I was angry at myself. Why do I like women? It's wrong. I'm not supposed to be like that. I was angry at like anything that existed in the world. And I carried it and I expressed it a lot. Mm-hmm. I actually remember when I came to the US, Israeli people are mostly tend to be like very passionate. We're louder than what you mostly going to find in the US. And I remember when people are like, whoa, you're feisty. I'm like, no, I'm just having a conversation.
So I think I remember being in Israel and thinking the same thing that you're just saying from the side that I was on as an American born, and then living for a lot of years in Japan where things are very quiet, you know, and you tiptoe around on rice paper mats and the walls are rice paper. So you're very quiet and you learn to be, as a child, I learned to be very demure, right? And then going to Israel and I was just like, whoa, you know? And I loved it, but it did seem angry to me at first, like, oh no. Then I was able to start to see threads of passion there, but then I could feel underneath what was infusing that passion. And so I'm so curious about what rates of autoimmune disease are in certain countries. And it's interesting that a lot of the numbers that I found according to different cultural values and habits, a lot of times ones that are expressing anger freely don't have autoimmune disease, which is fascinating to me, you know?
Interesting. And
yeah, it is interesting. So as you know, high numbers as in some places, but it's not able to be acknowledged, right? So anyway, another thing that I was thinking about when you were talking about this is, you know, when you said I got underneath all of this and then my MS started to change, one of the things I always talk about is the fact that we're not ever going to be curing our autoimmune disease. We're reversing it. So that these genetics are still here. My grandfather had RA, right? And they're still there. I'm not getting rid of my DNA. But the way that it manifests, right? My genetics express themselves, I can actually have something to say in that, you know? And so that if I were to go back to the way that I was when I was 30 and what I ate and how I managed my, not managing my anger, that I could actually have RA probably in 6 months again. And so when you think about MS and, you know, you said it changed, where are you today with symptoms and things like that?
I mean, today's amazing. I remember the time I couldn't see, I walked into a wall realizing, oh my God, I didn't see this wall. And I just hit it with my face. I lost my vision for a time. I lost the ability to walk. Even after I gained it, I constantly had almost the whole package of MS. So MS really affects different parts of the body. There is severe fatigue. I remember needing to take a break on the road, stopping the side of the road because I realized I can't keep my eyes open. Needing a nap in the middle of lunch. Cause you know, you just have to have it, or taking a nap after a shower. Usually a shower used to wake me up, you know, now I need to rest cause I had like, it was an activity for me. Or numbness. I had numbness, both of my hands, the left hand I could barely use, numbness in my legs, very weak knees. For a time I was walking with a cane to support me just in case. And today it's gone. I mean, of course it's a whole package. I also eat healthier and I constantly take care of myself. My mind, the work that I do is like, it makes it easier for me because I just like, now it's obvious. It's the new way to live, but it just.
That word constant right there is what I wanted to point to. I'm constantly taking care of myself. And I think that people don't realize, they sort of think about health as a light switch. It's either on or it's off, instead of a spectrum. And autoimmunity is definitely on a spectrum, you know. So when you think about it that way, then I know, like, if you've had trauma in your background, then often women will really want somebody outside of them, the little kid part in them, want somebody outside of them to notice them and to read them and to be able, if since I'm caregiving you, you're going to finally notice me, and then you're going to turn around and you're going to notice what I need and you're going to provide that. That is an inaccurate myth. And so, you know, I always want to point to the fact that this is a constant. This is a constant. That you're not saying, okay, so my symptoms are reversed, now I can go back and do what I was I used to do. Or that I've arrived, and so now there's this new normal that I can rest on. You know, the laws of physics say if you're not actually pushing forward, there's entropy. And so I think about this with autoimmunity too. And in your languaging, as you're talking, I'm wanting to point that to people. Like, look, this is, you are that important. You are that important. And so this idea that I have to constantly be watching my thoughts, watching my own reactions to what life is delivering, not controlling what's out here, but watching how I interact with it, that is constant. You slip backwards and start moving into anger or pity or victimization or any of those numbers of things that are default settings from childhood, you can get your symptoms back. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had a really busy / stressful, like, a month and a half. And all of a sudden I had a few days of, you know, I was a little bit confused. I had some brain fog. And I mean, in the past I was, oh my God, why is it happening to me? I can't believe it. Like, life sucks. Why me? Why not somebody else? Today I'm like, oh my God, thank you for the reminder.
Right.
I stopped taking care of me because I made other things that outside of myself more important. Thank you for reminding me that I get to choose myself every day when I wake up.
And who's reminding you?
Me, the planet, the universe, whatever you believe in.
This body that people
come through my body
so betrayed by, you know, this body is not behaving the way I want it to. This body isn't doing what I want. How come, you know, this body, this beautiful body is what told you, right? Hello.
Wake up.
I need a little attention right here. Right. Yeah. And so the body becomes this, its own consciousness that is delivering data to you, information constantly. And I always think about autoimmunity as a disconnect between, right? We're at war with our own systems. And so moving forward toward the body, collaborating with the body, just as it is, even if it's not functioning the way you want it to, just turning towards it and saying, how can I serve you? You have served me I had my birthday yesterday. For me, it's 56 years.
Congratulations.
You know, and so it's like 56 years this body has served me. And of course, I'm not going to berate it if it's tired one day. Or, you know what I mean? Or if my knee hurts while I'm hiking, instead of like getting mad about that, I'm going to sit back and go, what did I eat? You know what I'm saying? Okay, body, I hear you. Let me just check in again. You know, how can I serve you? How can I appreciate you better? How can I have more gratitude to you? And I always see people, and you probably see this in your practice too, like with autoimmunity, feeling betrayed by their bodies. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes that's something that I heard a few times. Also from my own family, I'm not the only person with autoimmune disorder. So it's something that I am familiar with, but I want to bring it back to what you said earlier, the word constant, and show, really discuss about the fact that everything is constant. The question is, are you doing it consciously or is it unconscious? Are you choosing it based on what you want to create or based on the life you thought you think you got? Because what I did constantly before I was aware is telling myself that I'm unlovable because my father didn't choose me when I was young, or I'm bad, I'm wrong, I'm dirty because I like women, or that I'm not good enough. All of those things were constant too.
Yes.
It was directing actually every choice, every action that I took every day, every thought that was in my mind, right? Because all of this is following our beliefs. And I really believed in that. I stopped thinking those things when I was 3 years old. Of course, I believe that it's all true.
A small child who feels really wounded is constantly informing what's going on in your adult perceptual process. And do you want that? I always say, do you want to give the upset 4-year-old the keys to your car?
Exactly. Exactly. And this is why it's constant and it's a choice, because you get to wake up in the morning and you get to start taking actions of the person that you know you are, not the one you thought you were based on your past experiences, and start breaking those patterns that are actually reaffirming every day those negative thoughts about yourself. Because that's what we're doing every day, basically affirming those, like, you're not good enough, you're stupid, you're ugly, they're better than you.
And until then, when some piece of evidence emerges that shows that, see, I knew it, right? And so you focus on the event or the moment in life that supports that old messaging as proof positive that what you said was true, and ignore like maybe the 10 other things that prove that it wasn't.
Yeah. And
we find the one little thing.
I really believe that we're actually creating this. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not just showing up, because whatever I believe in is there because whatever, you know, based on where I grew up, the messages I heard when I grew up and my past experiences, that created a whole set of beliefs. And now the thoughts that I have are following those beliefs. And then the choices, the feelings, the choices and the actions that I take are all based on that. So if I believe that, let's say somebody, I grew up in a house that my father cheated on my mother, okay, for example. So as a child, I'm like, men are evil, men cheat, men betrayed, men are mean, you know, that's what I understood as a child. And imagine somebody grows up this way with these kind of thoughts, and then you go into a relationship, let's say with a man, and that's like, to continue this example, but your thoughts are like, men are mean, men are cheat, men betrayed, you can't trust men. What kind of relationship you think you're gonna create out of that? We are always responsible for the results. You know, both partners are responsible. If right. It ends in a bad way, it has to do with my thoughts, with my actions, what I created. So I'm creating a scenario in my life. They're gonna be like, see, Talia, you're right about that. They're mean.
Right. And what I'm talking about also is you can get that 1,000-foot perspective too, and you can hear a story that says, oh, a bombing just happened in another city, and say, see, people aren't trustworthy. The world is not safe. And yet you have not heard the 10 other stories that happened in that same moment in that in maybe 5-mile radius of people being kind to each other. You know, and so it really is, we're going to notice, we're going to attract, and we're going to create exactly what that little kid, what their meanings and beliefs are. And then there's your world, right? But then there's also the world itself happening in response. And then you're going to pay attention to the places that support your belief system. And so then it just creates the suffering that we feel. It's so interesting. And the beautiful thing is we can actually shift it.
Yes. And that's the power, the understanding that, do you want to shift it? Do you understand that actually, I mean, it's hard sometimes to see, but yes, we do have the choice in what to see. You know, we do have the choice. What do we want to let into to our space? You use the word response that I love, because whether I react or I respond is my choice. The world not going to change because you're choosing yourself now, because you're choosing to change, to work on yourself. The world's going, like, bad things going to keep happen. Some people are going to keep treating you bad. How are you choosing to process it and to respond is what actually going to make the difference in your life, on your health.
And that's right? The detoxification process that we're talking about when I say autoimmune detoxification, because sometimes when you get to that place, you will notice there are people in your life, and you might have to actually release people in your life that aren't following through with coming along in your own evolution and expansion. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe that, and a lot of people don't like hearing that, and that's okay. You said at the beginning, right? We have the genetics, and it's not just the genetics. There's the expression of our genes, of our cells, and this is your mind. Like, this is where you are here in a way in control. And the fact that people, like, when people hear it, they're like, no. I didn't create it. I didn't do it to myself. It's just another way to, like, bring what we're familiar with, this anger that, even though it's negative, it reminds us of experiences and emotions that, you know, from our past, but we're familiar with that. And human beings, we like to feel there is safe in what we're familiar with. So we go directly there. And some other people take it to, oh my God, I did it to myself.
Are you blaming me? That's what I'll hear sometimes. And this is not about blaming.
And becoming victim to that. Mm-hmm. And actually, you can take the exact same message and say, wait a minute. If I created it in a way, I actually have the ability to change it. And the same message can flip the whole picture, give you so much power. This is an empowering message. I mean, let's think about it. Some people, you know, die from certain diseases because they didn't realize that. But you have the power to choose right now, choose yourself, choose to love yourself, choose this process and reverse it.
My father died last week, and this is airing in April. So in February, on February 15th, he died. And it was quite sudden, but he had had cancer. He had had chronic lymphocytic leukemia since 2002. And our journey together was me working with him on the intense level of anger that he had and his inability to, in his own mind, to be able to digest it. And so over the years, he was on chemo first, and then they changed him to a different chemo. And then about 3 years ago, he got pneumonia around Christmas time, and he almost died because the chemo had knocked out. You know, you can't take an antibiotic if there's no immune system for it to rally with. And the chemo had just knocked out everything. And so he was on like 5 rounds of antibiotics that everyone put him on and nothing. So he finally came to me and he said, all right, I am now hearing what you're saying. And he was really on death's door 3 years ago. And I said, okay, Dad. And he said, I'm listening. I'll do anything. And I said, it'll be hard that you're going to have to do some heavy lifting mentally, right? And he said, I'm ready. You've been talking to me about this for years, and we've been kind of doing it very, very slowly, and it's obviously not fast enough. And that was amazing because, you know, in that moment, I saw in his eyes, like, oh, yeah, all of this anger that I have not been willing to really get rid of, to jettison, I can feel it. Like, he could just feel it in his body for the first time. And in the antibiotics not working, he couldn't breathe. And he felt like he was really being buried underneath all that anger. And so for over the last 3 years, we had the most remarkable, so many amazing experiences as he really started getting underneath us. And he was chemo free for, you know, all that time. His cancer went into remission, you know, after almost, it was 15 years he had had it. So this is the kind of power that we're talking about when you really start talking about like the power of the mind. It's not just willing yourself better. It's not saying, I want to be better. It's saying, what is it that's happening inside of my circuitry that's creating dis-ease inside of this body? You know, that's a whole different thing. Rather than mind over matter, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I think, and I'm relating to what, I can understand what you're saying right now about those few years, because the part of it that is unconscious, that is part of our daily life, is stress. Like, that's constant. Even if we don't like, oh my God, I feel stressed right now, our mind is always creating stress besides what's already happening. Like, think about COVID. You know, like, that's stressful. Will I die tomorrow? Am I going to get it? Am I going to be in a hospital?
Right. Global that's stress stressful. Right now. Right.
And then your thoughts from the past, the anger, or I'm not good enough, or any beliefs that are not supporting you. You know, 95% of our thoughts every day are actually the same thoughts that we had yesterday, the same thoughts that we had yesterday, the day mm-hmm. before. So imagine, because most of those beliefs are really negative. They're really hurtful. There's some stuff we would never tell anybody else, but we tell ourselves. So every day you put yourself down like this, you don't really think you're somebody that can deal with whatever shows up in this lifetime, you know? So the stress is like happening inside on a constantly. And I mean, I believe that all the listeners know this part, that like stress really shuts down our immune system.
Right.
Our body can deal with stress. It's genius. It's designed to work and deal with everything. But the level of stress that we're creating with our minds, that's too much. So they have, like, it has to compromise something. Our immune system is being compromised. And here is the reason why autoimmune exists. While the doctors say, like, we don't know what is the reason, but here, take some medication and solve it.
Well, and I want to point to also, it's not just us having negative belief patterns against ourselves, but also being critical of outside of yourself. That's just a reflection, because outside of yourself is you. And so that was one of the things that I was really working with my dad on, is he would get so, oh my gosh, politics. Woo! He would get so angry. And this past election, I am convinced he lost his own battle. And that's probably why he had a hemorrhagic stroke. You know, he just could, he was just like, I cannot deal with this, you know? And I said, well, you're saying the words right now. I cannot deal with this, right? And so, you know, he made his own choices about how he wanted to deal with that. But I mean, I would just say, if you find yourself critical of any group of people, of any political thing, of the world, of God, of life, of anything, then turn it off. You know, I would always say, just turn it off, put the magazine away. My parents don't have a TV, so it's not like they could literally use a remote and turn off the news, but like, put down your reader, put down the magazine, put down the book that's talking about this. And is that really making you happy? This whole engagement that you're having with it, you know, and is it changing anything in the world? It is not, but it is changing your body, you know? And when this all happened, my mom, she just kind of said, you were right. You know, you were saying this is going to happen if it does, if he cannot get underneath it. He was just so angry. And he'd gone through this really beautiful period of time where he was peaceful, no chemo, super healthy. And then this happened, right? So it is kind of fascinating if you can observe that in yourself and notice, like, where am I critical? Am I critical of me? Am I critical of something else? That bitterness and that resentment and that rumination on the same thoughts over and over again. I've heard the statistic 94%. And so I'll say somewhere in there, there's 6% of new thought. And of that 6%, those are not always gems either. So you want to be still long enough to search through the 6% and find what you really want to focus on and create it, right?
Yeah, I mean, here is the thing. We interpret everything. We give some meanings to whatever it is that is real outside of us, right? That's always what we do. We don't really experience reality. We see reality, something happens, there are facts outside, but we give it some meaning, and this is what exists in our personal reality. And these kind of situations, like you said, for me, the work I do, at least, and believe in, this is a sign. This is, for me, showing me this is where work gets to be done. If there is anger, if something is pissing me off, if I have any certain emotions showing up, it showed me that something is still not resolved there. And that's where you get to, yes, you want to make sure this doesn't exist too much in your life. If it triggers something that's like, it puts you in stress or it affects you in a negative way. But when you do the work and you want to start solving and learning about yourself, because it's all about learning, like, who am I really underneath this? This is where the work is. I believe that love is healing. I believe that authenticity, when we come back to our authentic self, who you were when you were born, you know, a loving creature that trusts everybody and loves everybody. And there's like, nobody's mean, nobody's here to hurt you. You know, this is where our healing is. You know, that's why Alpha, I said at the beginning, it stands for authenticity, love, freedom, and abundance. Because all of this is there available for us when we connect to that part of us. And this is where you will find your healing, when you find a way to access that. So everything in your life, everything that happened, everything that triggers you, shows you, hey, this is actually where you get to stop, look in, heal, and move on.
And it's also, if it's making you angry, it's some part of you that you've actually disowned about you. You know, I used to say that to my dad when he'd get red faced. I'd say, you actually kind of look like the guy you're angry about right now. He would go,
am I getting even more angry right now?
And then he would go, oh, okay. You know, and so that's a really important thing to remember, is whatever we're angry about, we're actually becoming that which angers us. So that's a beautiful piece of that, is everything is a mirror, including your disease process, right? It's a mirror just reflecting back something that needs attention. So, and it needs love from you. And that's always going to be the answer. Always going to be the answer, right? Anything that's seeking the toddler that's pulling on your pants and saying, mom, 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 they're wanting love. Your body that's pulling on your pant leg and going, hey, 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 they want love, right? The whole thing is all about that. So dropping back into that and really loving yourself fully, that'll take care of it. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like all the answers are right there. It's not that easy to do sometimes. We didn't treat ourselves most of our life this way, but like we can all start now.
We can all start now with every single new thought. So where can people, I'm sure you probably have a exercise people could start right this minute.
Yes, it can sound a little bit general, but for me, this is number one for anybody who really chooses to make the change from within and not something surfacey that will, you know, go away as soon as it comes in. I think the answers are in the questions. So starting and being curious, like now, is where you're going to find the growth and the healing. So for example, if you're noticing, it's actually connecting perfectly to what you just said. If you're noticing that you're upset, you're sad, you're hurt from something that somebody said to you, you don't have a result that you wanted to get in something, work, school, whatever it is, stop. Every time you recognize a negative, sort of a negative feeling, stop and ask yourself why. Not why from a place of blaming, this is really important. Why from a place of what is the source? And the more you ask and the more authentic, you need to be really real with yourself, because your ego going to show up and be like, you know, playing its part and trying to pull you away from the truth because it loves for you to stay small and not grow.
It's their fault. But it's not yours. You don't have,
Yeah. So from a place of responsibility, try to understand what really is underneath all of that that created this outcome. And if you go deep enough, you'll understand there is some belief that you probably most of your life thought that is an absolute, but it's not. It's a belief you created because something that happened in your life. And if you find this belief, you'll start understanding what you get to work on, because all the beauty in this work and the most challenging part at times is actually the awareness. Once you are aware of your patterns and their source and understand all of it is a bullshit lie you've been telling yourself unconsciously your whole life, you know when it shows up how to make a different choice. Choice is easy to make when you see the picture, but unless you have awareness in a moment, you don't even have the ability to choose differently. And then when you start breaking the patterns that you actually created in your life because of your past beliefs and those painful things you've been telling and thinking, this is what you need to break. Once you start breaking this, you basically start creating the person that you choose to be, you want to be, not that you thought you were born to be. So ask yourself the questions, understand the source, and then make a new choice.
I have an example of this. Last night we were sitting at my mom's, I have one brother, and we'd been working as a team, getting everything just really figured out and done and had come together. I hadn't seen him for a couple of days because I came back home and started going to work. And so last night we went over and had dinner, and my brother just, he had this weird energy about him. He was really tight in his energy. And so I said, what's happening for you? You know, are you okay? And he said, and he just kind of exploded, I don't trust you. You know, and I went, oh. And so, you know, in my old pattern, my little kid part would have run away and just like zoop, you know, because this was an unpredictable behavior. And so instead, you know, asking questions like, oh, why do you feel safe right now? Like to this little kid, this is your brother. He's having a moment. It's okay. I've got you. You don't need to be out here. I've got it. 56-year-old's here, not 4-year-old, right? And so just really acknowledging her first and her feelings and giving her some empathy. And yeah, this is hard to manage. This is unpredictable. It's okay. I'm here. Okay. You don't have to manage it. And then just turning to my brother and saying, what's happening for you? Like, what's going on? You know, and he just sort of went through this thing, and it was based on a 16-year-old version of me, which was 30 years ago. And so he had this, you know, this thing that was going on for him that was 16 or 30 years old. And so if I could talk to my little kid self and be okay, I asked him to do the same thing, right? And so over a period of time in this conversation, you know, he got it. I'm being completely irrational. This is about me. This isn't about you. I probably need to go to therapy and really work with this little kid part of me. That was our outcome, which was beautiful. Instead of a bunch of drama, right? Instead of a fracture in the relationship, instead, because there's nothing like death in a family for drama stuff to start happening, right? And so being able to do that, where you can acknowledge, like, why am I reacting the way I'm reacting? Not this person's being an asshole, therefore I have a right to act how I'm acting. That's the question right there, right? Why am I having the response I'm having? It's nothing to do with them. And so that right there is freedom.
Exactly. Yeah. And something that's really important, whether you do it alone or you have somebody that's like coaching you or directing you or mentoring you, have compassion. Yeah. Like the fact that you today choose yourself, that's a win. That's a huge win. And yes, there are going to be pain dealing with past pain, but allow everything to come up and just love yourself. Everything is going to be found there already.
Right. And even if it's not, you're going to be okay as long as you continue to love the process and have compassion for it. You know, and at the end, when I left, I said, you know, I don't even care about any material objects. You know, I care about you. Our relationship is the most important. And that was for him to be able to hear that, because the 16-year-old version of me would have never said that to him. You know, so then he could start to love himself and not feel shame for his responses. So the more that you can kind of stay present to the why that Talia is saying, that's really the key question. Why am I responding the way I'm responding? Who is it? How old is she? What's happening in there? Yeah.
And specifically for autoimmunity, I think people that are dealing with that and want to reverse that, I think that's a powerful tool because it connects. And this is going to happen also without, like, it's those conversations that happen underneath our awareness. Mm-hmm. You're giving yourself a lot of power. You're basically telling yourself, I can deal with that, which can create a feeling of, I can also heal my body. I can also be in charge and take responsibility of my genes, of my genetics, of the way my body acts, which I know that a lot of people lose. They're like, I'm not in charge of anything anymore. And it makes you feel very like powerless.
And if I can stay present with pain that's emotional, then I can stay present with physical pain and I can listen to it, then it can shift, you know? But if I leave the building the second I have physical pain and feel despair and go down into an emotional abyss, my physical pain is gonna get much worse. So these are tied. In hospice work, this was really profoundly apparent. The more emotional pain someone had, the more pain medication it took for their physical pain to be alleviated. I mean, these are so connected. Emotional pain is the number one cause of physical pain.
So. Yeah, our mind and body are just, it's one unit. We don't learn it as the truth. And then it takes time sometimes for people to just to believe in that. But the faster you see it, the faster you see results and change in your body.
I so appreciate you taking time. Thank you so much. And for those of you that are coaches, one of the things I had not read in Talia's bio is that she has a group called Namaste Bitches, which I absolutely love the naming of that. And you can find her at the links that we're putting here with her talk. So alphabytalia.com, and her Facebook is also alphabytalia. Thank you so much for taking the time today, Talia, and sharing your wisdom with everyone.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for what you do. I'm so grateful that work like this is being done in our world.
Me too. All right, everybody. Until next time, be well.